The Lord be with you.
With you.
A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And as he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He hardly knew what to say. They were terrified. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them. From the cloud, there came a voice. "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." Suddenly, looking around, they saw no longer anyone but Jesus alone with them. As they were coming down the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man had been risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant. The Gospel of the Lord.
It is good that we are here. It was so awesome to hear of and to encounter three of our parishioners who I heard it's their first time back in this parish of theirs for Mass in 1 year. It is good that we are here. It's good that you're here. So for all of you that are coming back for the first time and have been worshiping with us in spirit and truth, it is oh so good that we are here. And welcome back. I'd like to ask, to the degree that people are comfortable in that way, if you're in a pew that looks like it has enough space, you know, maybe if you can slide in a little, if you're taking up a side, because I know we got a few that are back on the walls and lining up the walls, and just whatever you think you can do to kind of move, whatever. I want everybody, if you want to stand in the back, whatever. This is a moment where we talk about getting uncomfortable. It's okay if you're comfortable, okay? We want as many people comfortable as possible so we can get on, come on back. And above all, to encounter the divine doctor, to encounter Jesus. So that all of us can have this transfigured moment where we can literally say in our hearts as we worship together, it is good that we are here. And so that together, as members of the mystical body of Christ, we can go beyond the ashes this Lent. We can go beyond the ashes. This Sunday, we can go up the mountain. We can go with Jesus. And on this mountain of prayer, this mountain of worship, where we're united, heaven and earth are met on this altar. It's not just a liturgy for time. It's time and eternity meeting. It's those of us in the pew in Charlotte, North Carolina, uniting our hearts and our worship in the one Lord all over the world, multiple languages, and also in heaven. And so this Sunday, as we go up the mountain, let us listen to our Father as he says, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Listen to him. Listen to him in his living word. Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever, as Hebrews 13:8 tells us. Listen to him in his word this evening. God said to Abraham, "Go Go to the land of Moriah. Go up the mountain and take Isaac. And God did not ask of Abraham what he himself was willing to do for you and me, to sacrifice his only son. And we didn't get the whole readings of Abraham, but it was broken up a bit. But Isaac carried the wood, and Abraham carried the knife to offer the sacrifice, as Jesus carried the wood of the cross for you and for me, prefiguring that offering that was in the heart of God in that moment, before Jesus had a sacred heart. Let us listen to this encounter on the mountain of the Lord. Jesus was there. In his humanity, I've climbed that mountain. Not climbed it, I went up in a car, Mount Tabor. So did Deacon Larry. He went with Father Frank. We went up there. It is a steep mountain in the middle of nowhere. It wouldn't have been easy. Jesus climbed it in his humanity. I'm sure he was out in front. And he was breathing heavy because he was like us in all things but sin. And his apostles were there looking and saying, who is this miracle worker? Because his divinity was concealed in his humanity. And then all of a sudden, he was transfigured before them. They saw his glory like never believed, and it was just so amazing. And it said in that moment that a cloud covered over them. The cloud always represents the Holy Spirit. The same cloud that went over the people fleeing Egypt, the chosen ones, leaving slavery, the cloud that covered them during the day, and the pillar of fire. Fire, like at Pentecost, that guided them at night. So there we have the Trinity on top of this holy mountain, and from that mountain comes the voice. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. And Moses and Elijah, Moses representing the law, and Elijah representing the prophets, were on either side of him, and they were conversing. And what they were conversing about was his crucifixion, was his going to Calvary. Jesus took them up that mountain to prepare them for the scandal of the cross. We go up the mountain, the spiritual mountain of prayer, on a daily basis and every Sunday, to prepare ourselves to take up our cross, to hear God speak to our heart as he did to Abraham, as he did to Paul in the second reading, thinking of Jesus and his offering. That word go, it is no coincidence that at the end of every Mass, it's go in peace. Go. Last week, we had Mass, and this little boy, maybe about 4 years old, comes walking out. Comes walking out with his mom, and it's like the third week that he's come out, and he's always drawing pictures, you know, during Mass. He's doing his pictures, and he always wants to give me his offering as he goes out his pictures. It's just so cute. So last week, we talked about go to the desert with Jesus, right? We remember that? We got a theme. We're going to run through it. Go beyond the ashes. Last week was go to the desert with Jesus. And we talked about everything that's involved in the desert. If you missed that, you can go online. I think, as I tell Father Mike, his homily was better. It was shorter and it was better. And even Ben in the back, every now and then he flashes a sign that says, Father Mike's homily is better. You don't see it, I see it, no. But anyway, so this boy comes out of Mass, and he hands me this work, and he's so proud of it, and he's sitting there looking to see my reaction to my face, and I open it up. And it's Jesus in this little drawing, and he's got a little blue that he drew coming out of his side, and there's this stick figure at the bottom. And I said, what is that? And he says, it's water. Jesus would quench our thirst in the desert. I was like, boy, let's make him a doctor of the church. I mean, he got it. I was like, wow, you go to the desert to encounter Jesus. And in those moments where we feel totally lonely and all that, we're in solitude. He's there, he meets us, and he feeds us, and he quenches our thirst. Water always prefigures the Holy Spirit. And so this boy got it, but also did great artists in our time. I'm going to ask Ben to flash up here the work of the Transfiguration. Yeah, we brought it all the way from Rome, and we have that capability. We can put some of the greatest works and greatest reflections of people who listened to God and then brought their call to canvases and works like Michelangelo and young Raphael. Young Raphael in the year 1514, or actually 1516 through 1520, he painted this work. This is the upper part of it, with tempera-based oil paint on wood. And he never finished the work because he died of heart complications at 37 years old. That's why he's called Young Raphael. It was his last work. And he was working during the Renaissance period, but with the bright colors and the things that he was bringing in, he paved the way, and it was revolutionary for the Baroque period, which came in the 1600s, which was art that wowed you like, wow! And this work of art that we see here is a reflection of his prayer. And it's a representation of what we experience here. It's catechesis through art. I'll ask Ben to flash up the lower part of it, right? He'll flash up the lower part there, which is, that's what happens when they go down the mountain. If you read Matthew's gospel, which he was reflecting on, they come down the mountain and there was the boy possessed by the demon and nobody could cast him out. And they're trying and they're doing everything they can in their humanity with all their effort, thinking they can do it. And then Jesus steps in and they say, no, Lord, we can't do it. And he says, these you can only cast out by prayer and fasting. Let me show you. You're not there yet. Trust in me. So he does this separation between the lower, what we can encounter in our daily life, and the heavenly, back to the Transfiguration, the top part there, Ben, if you would. And this isn't supposed to be like a flashy show, but it's through art that we can live and we can worship and we can glorify God. That's why churches had beautiful works of art. And we're blessed with our technology and we use it to bring it into our presence. So we see here, we see Jesus, and on his sides are Moses, right? Moses, the law, let him out. And Elijah, the prophets. You remember what they said? Who do people say you are? Some say Elijah. Because it was Elijah, the coming back of Elijah, that would have prefigured the Messiah. Think of Peter and James and John. They're like, wow. And so we listen to our beloved Lord as he speaks to us even through works of art. To take this picture this week. It's in the Vatican Museum in the Pinacoteca, which I used to love giving tours through. And you go right through, which is a paint gallery in the Vatican Museum. You can Google it. You can look it up. Take that to prayer. Spend 15 minutes looking for him. And speak to our Lord about, Lord, how do you want to transfigure my life? How do you want to transfigure my life? How do you want to work through me? How can I listen to you so you can guide me in my daily life? And here's the challenge for you and me. As we climb this mountain on a daily basis to pray, as we use the means the good Lord gives us, technology, art, whatever's there, to encounter him, to lift our hearts up to him, to listen to him. How can listening to our Lord, speaking to us through others, speaking to us through art, speaking to us through his living word, help us to live a transfigured life? I'll share with you one story from this week where I experienced that through a parishioner. I had the grace yesterday of going and visiting our parishioner, thanks to her niece, and called me to go and offer her last rites. And I've had people say, well, Father, you know, why do you speak about last rites and that? Because it's in those moments when we're crucified, when it's most difficult, where we truly become transfigured, where we preach from the biggest pulpits, And she was so beautiful. I went into her independent living. We were there. We were speaking. She was so beautiful. Anointed all, offered everything. And then we talked. And we talked about Mary. We talked about heaven. And you could see in her eyes. And you could see in her smile. Jesus working through her. She was transfigured before me. She was a shining example of Jesus in our midst. My brothers and sisters in Christ, as we climb the mountain, Lord, every day, as our Lord nudges our heart every morning, go up the mountain, as he did Abraham, as he did St. Paul, as he did to Peter, James, and John in the flesh, come up here with me. Let us listen to him. Let us listen to him with our ears. Let us listen to him with all that happens around us, and let us see his presence among us and allow this encounter with Jesus to transfigure our lives too. Amen.